All right. Well, if you've got your Bible, and I hope that you do, join me in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I was listening to the radio earlier this week, and I heard a little discussion that sent me on a little bit of a spiral, down a little bit of a rabbit trail, and it certainly distracted me for a while. They were talking about artificial intelligence. And, you know, I don't know how many of you are into this whole artificial intelligence thing. You may be like me and you just try not to think about it too much because it kind of freaks you out a little bit. Because you watched those movies as a kid like I did, and you know that artificial intelligence is going to end up taking us over and making it a horrible situation. And we're going to have to rise up against the machines and you know how it ends. It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary to think that those things that we see, that more and more the things that we see online are not real anymore, right? Especially if you're on social media, there are whole companies that are devoted to making fake things to put on your social media feed or on the internet, so that they're trying to put things out there that looks like something that's for sale. And maybe you decide, hey, I'd like one of those. And you put your information in and go to buy that thing and come to find out it's not a real thing. But you've given your credit card information to one of these fake companies that's trying to swindle you out of your money. I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary. Right? The older I get, the better the fakes get, the better the fake companies become, the harder they become to realize whether or not they're fake, the less I want to do business with something that's not a brick and mortar store. Even though I am part of that generation that came up during that whole rise of these internet companies, right? The dot-com boom of the late 90s, some of you remember that. And early 2000s, which became the dot-com bust as those companies began to die off. But it's a crazy world out there. And they were talking in this radio program about some of the rules that are there for this artificial intelligence. But many other countries have adopted certain laws to protect people from this. But here in America, we like our freedoms and freedom of speech, and those laws have gone nowhere in America. So these companies are still free to do everything they can to deceive you and fake you out. And it just allows things to grow and build. And they say that right now, artificial intelligence has to be based on actual things that can be known, but the way that technology is progressing, eventually they'll be able to come up with their own knowledge and their own ability to think of new things, and pretty soon that artificial intelligence will be actual intelligence on its own, and that just blows my mind and freaks me out in a whole new way. And like I said, it took me down a whole rabbit trail that now you're probably on, and you may not listen to any of the rest of what I have to say because you're so focused on how am I going to deal with this in the coming years. But it's easy for us to get sidetracked by things like that, isn't it? Things like that that are interesting, things like that that maybe scare us a little bit, that we don't understand to some degree, that we need more information about. It's easy for us to get distracted. The world loves for us to get distracted and caught up in all of these little things, whether it's technology or whether it's politics or whether it's shopping or whatever. The world and certainly Satan want us caught up in all of those things and our mind focused on anything but the things of God and the things that he wants us to do and how he would have us to live. Because when we are distracted and when we are off of God's purpose for our life and for our church, then that just serves Satan's plans and his desire to distract and to defeat and to keep us off of what God wants us to be doing. And I think that is so much a trap for all of us. Not just for me, but for every single one of us. We get caught up. We easily get caught in controversies and arguments and all sorts of, I got my feelings hurt and I wanted it to go this way, or I want it to go that way, or I want this thing or that thing, and I'm not getting my thing that I want. And we get so just enraged, frustrated, focused on those things that we stop focusing on the things of God. And I'm hoping, my prayer for us this year is that we can find a way to have less of that. That we can find a way to keep our hearts and minds as focused as possible on God's will and God's plans and the things of God that are for us. Leave your finger there in Colossians and turn over about a page to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4:8, Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You see, we have a tendency, we have a habit, we deal with a constant temptation to meditate on the problems and on the negative and on the not praiseworthy, the not holy, the not pure, the not just, on all the bad things that go on around us. But God calls us here in His Word to meditate on things that are true, that are noble, that are just, pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue, that are praiseworthy. All of those kinds of things, those are the kinds of things that we're to fill our mind and our heart and our life with. And so this morning, as we consider that, I'd like to put before us a verse that, or a passage of Scripture that I'd like for us to use this year as a focus verse, as something that can help bring us back to that place that we're supposed to be, to help snap us back to attention. Because sometimes what we need is something that we can turn to, something easily that we can think of, that we can remind ourselves of when we realize that we're going down that negative rabbit hole, when we realize that we're chasing after things that we shouldn't be chasing after anymore, that we're focused on things that we shouldn't be focused on. If we have a passage of Scripture that we can turn to that can remind us this year of the things that we're supposed to be focused on, that'll help us, as Stephen Covey said, to keep the main thing the main thing, I think that can be good for us. And so I'd like to put this passage of Scripture before you. It's the passage of Scripture that we read this morning, and we're going to read it throughout the year, not every week, but a lot of weeks, and I'd like for us to try to memorize it. I'd like for us to maybe write it out and put it on your refrigerator, maybe tape it to your bathroom mirror, put it somewhere that you're going to see it every day, because I think this passage of Scripture can help keep us focused on the right things so that we don't get so far off in our chasing rabbits and in our concern about so many millions of other things that we get off course. And so if you would, look with me at Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, because I think this passage of Scripture can be a good passage for us to keep us focused and centered on the right things. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." I want to read it again because I really want this passage of Scripture to stick in our minds. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Like I said, I'd like for this passage of Scripture to be something that we come back to on a regular basis. We're going to use this as our Scripture reading once a month. I'm going to remind us of this passage of Scripture frequently, because I think that what is in this passage of Scripture can help keep us focused on the things that God wants us to be doing. And so what is it that we need to be focused on doing? Let's work our way through this passage a little bit. First is we need to be focused on walking in him. Walk in him. In verse 6 it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him." This is one of those passages. It begins with a therefore. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus. What's he talking about? Because, right, anytime we find a therefore, especially in Paul's writings, we want to ask, what's it there for? And we want to go back to what it says before. And Paul writes, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So when Paul says, therefore, and he's talking about how they've received the Lord, he's referring to what he has just said about wanting to encourage them and wanting them to have a fuller knowledge of God and of Christ, and wanting, even though he can't be with them, even though there are many of them who have never seen Paul, never met Paul, he wants to encourage them in their faith. And he wants specifically, he says in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." He says, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who have believed in Jesus Christ. And so how did they receive Jesus as Lord? The same way that you and I do, by grace through faith. They had received Jesus by grace through faith. Just like everyone who has received Jesus as Lord throughout history, they received him by grace through faith. And Paul has been talking about that a little bit. He's been writing to the church at Colossae because this church is being attacked by people who don't believe, by people who believe really a false gospel. They were following what's known as the Gnostic heresy, and Paul is writing to correct a lot of that. And so the first chapter and really most of the book of Colossians is talking about Christ, the supremacy of Christ, who Christ is, what he's done, what it means that Christ has died for them. All of those things Paul is writing about throughout the book of Colossians. And so he says here in verse 6, as you received him, so walk in him. He's telling them that they need not just to have believed in Christ, not just to have received Christ, but because of their relationship with Christ, it ought to impact their, to use Paul's word, their walk. Now, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When he talks about their walk, he's not talking about how they literally get from A to B, right? That's not what he means. He's talking about their life, about their lifestyle, that the way that they live ought to be different because of their relationship with Christ. That we, as believers, should no longer live like the rest of the world lives, but we ought to live according to God's Word. God's word ought to, because it is God's word for us, ought to have supremacy over our life. We ought to be doing everything that we can to live our life by what God's word says. It's not just some book, it's not just something for religious purposes, but it ought to make a difference in everything that we do, in the way that we live, the way that we talk, the way that we go about our business, the way that we do everything ought to be influenced, ought to be changed, ought to be different because Christ lives inside us. And so we ought to be submitting ourselves to Him so that it's no longer me, it's not about me, it's not about what I want or what I can get, but it's about Christ and who He is. We ought to be seeking to be more like Him every day. Our daily conduct ought to be different. We ought to be seeking to live in union with Him. We ought to be patterning our life after the life of Jesus. 1 John 2:6, if you want to turn over there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." We ought to be seeking to make our life, our walk, the way that we live, match up with the way that Jesus lived. You may remember the old craze from the early 2000s that everybody had on those little bracelets that said WWJD, right? You remember that? And it kind of became just almost a silly thing. But the idea was you see that and you're reminded to ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? In my life, in my situation, in what I'm going through, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this situation? And I know there were a whole lot of people that came out and said, well, you can't really know. You can't really know what Jesus would do in your situation. Well, I can know what the Bible says. I can know what the Bible says about how he lived. And I can do my best. I'm better off doing my best at trying to live the way that Jesus would live than I am just trying to make something up on my own. Because I guarantee if I make it up on my own, it's going to be for me and about me and what I want, and it's going to be very selfish, very self-centered, and probably not much at all like Christ. But if I at least consider God's word and consider who Christ is and what he is like, it should, and if I'm seriously considering that, it will change and affect the way that I live and the way that I interact with others. We need to walk in Him. We need to seek to be more and more like Him every day. That is God's will for us, right? His desire for us is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, that we would look more and more like Him. Not more and more like us, not more and more like somebody else in this building, not more and more like somebody else that we like out in culture or out in the world, but more and more like Jesus. We ought to walk in Him and live for Him. What are we to be focused on doing First, walking in Him. Second, growing in Him. Growing in Him. In verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Rooted and built up in Him. We are planted in Christ, firmly planted in Christ at the moment of salvation. That is one of those changes, one of those transformations that takes place in our life. Without Christ, we are kind of wandering. We are kind of cast about on the waves of the sea. We are kind of doing our own thing, going wherever we're blown, doing whatever we want. But when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, at that moment, we become planted, rooted in Him. It's a past tense verb here in the Greek. It shows completed action. It's already been done. It's already happened. Once you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are rooted in Him. And from there, we are to grow in Him. It says again, rooted and built up in Him. We are planted in Him, and then we are caused to grow in Him. So that Christ is our source of nourishment and growth. It's not us. It's not our ability to study God's Word. It's not our ability to read for ourselves or to get for ourselves, but it's Christ who grows us, causes us to grow. You know, a plant that you plant in the ground doesn't grow because the plant is really good at growing. It's God that gives the plant its growth. And it's the same for us. We don't grow in our spiritual life because we're so good at growing, but it's because God causes us to grow. He makes the growth happen. We like to think that we're in charge of so much, but the reality is that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to our spiritual life, when it comes to our spiritual growth, so much of it is God at work in our life. So much is Him and our being willing to let Him do His work. And our being willing to surrender to Him doing His work. And I think that's part of why so much of it is so difficult for so many of us. Because we want to control it. We want to be the ones who determine where we go and what we do and how we do and what gets done and how it gets done, and we want to control that. We want the power over that, but that's not how it works spiritually. It's God at work in us through Christ, through His Holy Spirit, us just yielding to Him, surrendering to Him. And I know that's not the way most of us were taught, right? Most of us were taught, never surrender, right? Do it yourself. Earn it yourself. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you get in there and you do it. That's not how the Christian life works. The Christian life works very much opposite of that, by us surrendering to Him. Us giving control over our life to Him, yielding to Him. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, He must increase. It's all for Him. It's all done by Him. We are rooted deep in Christ, and then we grow up in Him, are built up in Him, and it says then, and established in the faith as you have been taught. You see, We are rooted deep by Him, and then He causes us to grow and become established and have that firm foundation of Christ. He establishes us, and He does it this way as we surrender our lives to Him so that we might grow in Him. It reminds me, we used this verse as a church verse when I was at the Chinese church in Southern California. And we were talking about how we ought to word our theme because we wanted to build a theme around this verse. And our Mandarin pastor, who barely spoke English, but he was such a precious friend of mine, but he said that our theme in English ought to just be root deep. And I will forever remember him saying it that way, just root deep. And I thought, you know, that doesn't sound great in English, but I love it. Because what we need is deep roots. What we need are roots that are planted deep in Him. And again, it's not us, it's us yielding to Him. But we need those deep roots because it's the deep roots that are deep into Christ that help us to be able to grow and to be able to receive all of the nourishment from God and from His Word. And it's how we become strong, right? I think about these trees that are over here, and I'm amazed sometimes with the winds that we get and the storms and the river overflowing its banks and all of these things. I'm amazed sometimes that these trees are able to continue to stand and that they don't just topple over because they're just sitting in mud. But they're able to do that because they root deep. Because their roots go down deep into the soil. And they take in nutrients from that soil, and they grow, and they grow as tall as they grow because they get good nutrients, they get good moisture. I mean, they get plenty of moisture, don't they? A couple of times a day, they're flooded. They've got all the moisture they can handle. And what about us? We see so many people over time, as a Christian, you see so many people who fall away, who walk away from their faith. And I just wonder about their roots. I wonder how many are like when Jesus told the parable of the soils, where the sower goes out to sow, and he's casting his seed upon the different types of soil. I wonder how many are like the seed that falls on the rocky soil, where they take root and they grow up very quick, but there's so many rocks in the soil that they don't really get the nutrients that they need. And so when the sun comes out, they're burned up and shriveled up and they die. Oh, how I hope that's not true of us. That instead of being shallow and not having deep roots in Christ and in His Word, that we would be ones who root deep and grow up and are established in our faith, that we would truly grow in Him. We would grow in Him, that we would walk in Him. And then finally, that we would be giving thanks. Giving thanks. Paul says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Here we find the only active verb in this entire sentence. Paul uses four participles for the other verbs, the other things that we've looked at. The walking and the rooting and the growing and the being established are all participles. But here, abounding in thanksgiving, it's actually telling us what we are to be actively doing. And that is, we are to be giving thanks. You see, if we are walking in Christ and we are growing in Christ, then we are going to be giving thanks. We are going to be abounding in thanksgiving. We are going to be just overflowing in giving thanks to God. Because when we are walking in Him and we are growing in Him, we understand more and more how much we need Him and how much we are blessed by Him and how much He has given to us and how much this life is a gift from Him and how much our being able to serve Him is a gift from Him, so that we don't have time to complain and we don't have time to worry and we don't have time to get off course and off track and focused on so many other things, because we need to spend our time, yes, serving Him and growing in Him and doing those things, but also thanking Him and praising Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him. You see, if we're doing things the right way, we don't have time for all of the other stuff and all of the other things that get in the way, because we are so focused on giving Him thanks, on giving Him glory, on giving Him honor, on honoring Him with our life. We ought to be making our life a praise to Him. We talk about giving thanks and we talk about praising God. And so often when we do that, we get focused on thinking about singing. And hey, I love to sing. I love to sing God's praises. You probably won't believe this, but that is one of my favorite parts of church. Right? Even though I'm the one who stands up here and does all the long talking. One of the best parts for me is singing God's praises. Because as much as I know we need to hear God's word taught, we also need to worship the Lord. And part of how we do that is by singing. But that's just a small part of the way that we worship the Lord. Part of how we worship the Lord is the way that we live. We demonstrate our thanks to Him by the way that we live for Him, by the way that we walk in Him, by the way that we grow in Him. All of those things pour back into this giving thanks to the Lord, is our living thanks to the Lord. In Hebrews 13:15, Hebrews 13:15, it says, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We are to constantly be praising Him. Praise ought to characterize the life of the believer. It ought to be a major focus of our life, is praising the Lord. But Paul begins this entire discussion saying in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Paul here is assuming that these people that he's writing to have received Jesus as Lord. And I think it's important for us to understand that all of these things, this idea of walking in Him and growing in Him and giving Him thanks, are predicated on that idea that we have trusted Christ as our Savior. And so I would be remiss if I didn't say, have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't done that, that's where all of this starts. That's where these things that God wants us to be doing, that's where living a life that pleases Him, That's where all of that begins, is by having a relationship with Him. And if you don't have a relationship with Him, you can enter into a relationship with Him today. We're going to have a time of invitation, and I invite you to come and repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus. Scripture says that each and every one of us is a sinner, and because of that, we deserve to be separated from God, but that God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross and be raised from the dead 3 days later to make it possible for us to have fellowship with Him, to be redeemed by Him, to have a relationship, a real relationship with the God of the universe. And so I would ask, have you done that? Do you know for sure that you have repented of your sin? That means turned away from your sin and trusted in what Christ has done for you on the cross. If you haven't, I invite you to come and do that today. You can just come and talk to me about it, or if you want to grab me after the service, that's fine too. However it is that you need to do that, let's take care of that today. But I know many of us here are believers, and so I would say, like Paul says in this passage of Scripture, walk in Him, grow in Him, give thanks. And let's keep that at the focus of what we do and who we are as a church in 2025. Let's pray, and then you respond as the Lord leads as we have our time of invitation. Father, I thank You for Your love and for Your grace. I just pray that You would have Your way in this time of invitation and that You would be glorified as we seek to worship You and honor You through our lives. Lord, have Your way in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.